So I had asked this question at the very beginning of Lent. Do you want to be a joyful person? Like starting today or starting this Advent? Because joy is something that we can decide to have now. It's not something we have to wait for until certain things line up in our lives or we get to heaven one day, because joy simply comes from knowing Jesus, from having him. And Jesus brought joy to the world when he was born. Joy is having that abiding and pervasive sense of well-being, knowing my life is not left up to chance or fate, but that there's a God who knows my name, who loves me. And joy comes from keeping that in my heart, even when others let you down or forget you, even when life is otherwise just an absolute disaster. It's knowing God remembers you. You can be joyful if you pray that simple prayer, Father, thy will be done. In all circumstances, when you're at your best or at your worst, Father, thy will be done. And then we talked about developing anti-fragile joy, where pain and sorrow and loss might touch your joy, but it cannot destroy it. We talked about moving from conditional joy to unconditional joy, where joy comes from not placing conditions on God, but being satisfied with just knowing he's with me, and that's enough. And Advent will always be about joy, whether we talk about it or not, because as the church says, it's a season of devout and joyful preparation for the coming of the Lord. So again, do you want to be that joyful person? Because it's a choice that you make, as we've talked about. And now as we're moving into the last part of Advent, the church always turns to Mary, right? Jesus' mom, which is great because Mary was the most joy-filled person ever. And people can hear that and think, well, yeah, why wouldn't she be? Like, she was so blessed, she was favored, born without sin, it's incredible. Which, that's true. Like, that's true. But we should never make the mistake of thinking her life was anything close to easy or comfortable. Remember when I was going through the joyful mysteries of the Rosary back on the first Sunday of Advent? We call them the joyful mysteries, even though there was so much uncertainty and pain and loss for Mary in all of them. They're joyful nonetheless. Why? Because Mary knew God was with her. Jesus was there. And so in the midst of uncertainty, Mary could pray, Father, thy will be done in my life. In the midst of all of this loss, Father, thy will be done. In the midst of incredible pain, our Blessed Mother could say, Father, thy will be done. And actually, Mary being able to pray that prayer in the midst of all of that, we have a word for that. It's called obedience. Mary didn't just have joy in her heart, she had obedient joy. Joy that comes from being obedient to the Lord. And I know the word obedient doesn't always have a good ring when we hear it, but that's maybe because we just have a bad understanding of what it is, especially when it comes to God. Because all it is this. Obedience is saying yes to someone you've learned to trust. Obedience is saying yes to someone you've learned to trust. And even the greatest saints had to learn obedience, trust of God. Even Mary, our Blessed Mother, born without stain of sin, had to learn to trust. And if God brought Mary into a position where she needed to learn to trust, then you better believe God is going to bring you and I into positions where we're going to need to learn to trust him. To trust him, especially when life is hard, when it's unfair, when it's brutal and unforgiving, when it doesn't make sense, when it's confusing, when we're disillusioned, and when the answer to our prayers is not the one we ask for. But if we can learn to be obedient to God, like Mary, to say yes to him because we trust him no matter how dark it gets, to say yes because we believe his word to us, that God keeps his promises, then we can be joyful even as Mary was. Because Mary was a real person. You know, we think of her as someone in pictures or we have statues of her. She's very distant in that way, but she was a real person and her life was extremely difficult. And because she had to learn to trust and be obedient, Mary can teach you and me to trust and be obedient too. She had to trust that God would somehow be able to convince the man that she was married to that the child in her womb was not the result of infidelity, but was placed there by the Holy Spirit. Honey, I wasn't unfaithful to you. The Holy Spirit got me pregnant. I mean, is it any wonder Joseph needed a little help from from an angel to get there? She had to trust that God would give her the grace to endure the gossip and scorn that she most certainly had to endure in the village where she lived, where people would have talked about this unexpected pregnancy. She had to trust that God would protect her child when Herod went on a killing spree slaughtering children. She had to trust when she and her husband moved to another country where he had no work, where he had no leads, where he knew no one. Mary had to trust that God would provide for her when her husband died and she was left a widow. She had to trust that her son, who she knew was God, if anybody knew, it was her. Her son, who was still living at home at the age of 30, doing nothing she was promised he would do, would go out and change the world. That's a really nice table, sweetheart, but surely we've went through all of this for something more. She had to trust when he finally did begin his public ministry, and the crowds rejected him, and she had to hear people say her son was possessed by the devil. She had to trust when he was betrayed by one of his best friends and arrested. She had to trust as she watched her son scourged to the point he's barely recognizable as a man anymore. She had to trust when her son was nailed to that cross, hanging above her, his blood dripping down on her. She had to trust God as she wrapped her son's body in a shroud, helped carry him to the tomb, wondering, how could this happen? The angel told me my child would be great, whose kingdom would have no end, who will reign forever. And she had to trust as she laid awake in bed the night of Good Friday. She had to trust as she got up the morning of Holy Saturday, not knowing the next day was Easter. And all of that stuff and everything that's not recorded, Mary is able to teach us in a very unique way that God is faithful to his promises, that he keeps his word. He was faithful to Mary through all of that. He's going to be faithful to you. Mary was joyful in the midst of that because she kept saying yes to a God who doesn't break his promises, even when it seemed like those promises were impossible to keep. She was joyful because she was obedient. She trusted that enough grace was going to be given to her to get her through every single one of those things. And you can be joyful when you are obedient to God, because what is obedience? It's when I keep saying yes, even when it's followed by incredible uncertainty, because you know that God is faithful and he doesn't break his promises. And his plans, his designs are for your good, even when you don't know how that can be. Trusting enough grace will be given to you to get you through every circumstance. If you can do that, then you will have obedient joy. But you'll never maintain joy if you pull back from God and start saying no to him when it gets tough. Because just like for Mary, God will give you everything you need to accomplish the mission or the task, the vocation he's given you. So the question is, do you believe that? Do you believe enough grace will be there to get you through anything? And will you choose to live by that? Because just like for Mary, we get the opportunity to believe God and to obey him. And this was Mary's secret, that in so many ways, Mary's secret was not that she was so powerful, so incredible, so beautiful, so wise. Her secret was that when God asked her to move, she moved. A word that we use sometimes in church circles is Mary was willing to yield, which isn't to say she was passive. Mary was not passive. God didn't move her around like a piece on a chessboard. When the angel asked if she was willing to be the mother of God's son, she wasn't forced into this. Mary had free will. She could have said no, but she was willing to yield. She was what we might call receptive. And so last thing, I'm going to ask you guys this. Do you know the names Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers? Some of you know those names? A few people? So I use this example. It's becoming more and more dated, I know, but they were dance partners back in the 50s and 60s, and it said Fred Astaire was like the greatest dancer of the last 100 years. Incredible dancer. And his partner, very often, was Ginger Rogers. So typically, someone says Fred Astaire, greatest dancer of the last 100 years. It's worth noting, it's worth also saying that Ginger Rogers did everything Fred Astaire did, but she did it backwards and in high heels, right? So both really good dancers. But here's the crazy thing, it blows my mind when I found this out. Fred Astaire, he was a professional dancer. Ginger Rogers was not a professional dancer. She was an amateur dancer. Fred Astaire had a ton of partners over his career, but he loved dancing with Ginger Rogers. Because, yeah, she's talented, she's gifted, she worked hard. But he said he loved dancing with Ginger Rogers because she was an amateur. She knew how to move well with him. You know how dancing goes? Classically, the male leads and the female follows. And that doesn't mean that the male just drags her around the dance floor. It means when he moves, she's receptive. That when he moves, she yields to his movements. That when he leads, she's willing to be led. She's obedient because she's willing to cooperate. And that's why it's called dancing. They're doing it together. So Fred Astaire leads, and here is Ginger Rogers, who would see where he's leading and say yes and go along with him. And them dancing together, it was beautiful to watch. And this is what Mary did in her life. And it filled her with joy to let God lead her. Them dancing together was beautiful to watch. It brought joy to the world. And this is what we are invited into as well, to let God lead, to yield to his movements, to be receptive to him. Doesn't mean you're a piece on a chessboard, but it means that he wants to lead you. That's what Christ wants to do in the church. That's what Christ wants to do in your life, to let him lead, for you to be obedient, which is what? To simply move when you're invited to move. And this is the secret to having joy, having that abiding and pervasive sense of well-being that Mary had throughout her life, even when it looked most dark, because she let God lead. She was obedient. And when you do the same, when you let God lead the dance of your life, just like Mary brought joy to the world in her dance with God, and it was beautiful to watch, so you too will bring obedient joy to the world. Amen.